Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Need to Nerd podcast. I'm your host, Heezy, and I'm joined by my co-host, a man who steals his wife's office when his is messy, Patty B.
Hey, Spencer. How's it going?
Good. I think we're both a little sick today, so yeah. It should be an interesting podcast. Everybody's like, why do these guys sound so nasally and gross? And we're both just like, I didn't want to cancel. I just wanted to record with my hobie. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are. There's something going around. I tested negative for COVID. There's just this cold that like is lingering. It actually kept my wife from coming to Thanksgiving. It was really sad.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I hope you could brought her some food still.
Yes. Oh yeah, 100%. There's not much because she's got celiacs, so sometimes the selection isn't as diverse.
Oh, I didn't know that she had celiacs. We had a whole row of celiacs food because some people in my family have celiacs.
Yeah, it's important to be inclusive.
Yeah. Speaking of inclusivity, the Discord be less hopping than normal lately. I feel like I'm the only one posting things. So come join the Discord. Everyone's welcome. Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/HeezyGameMedia. And then, you can also be playing for nothing in fantasy football like me and Patty's wife tomorrow.
Hey, no, I think she has some like outside chance. I think she's...
We have the same record.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a chance. I don't think we're going to make it.
She's going to try her darndest.
Well, trying your darndest is what life is all about. This week isn't about trying your darndest. Well, kind of is. This week, we are talking about none other than Season 1 of The Dragon Prince. Nerd Fact of the Week. This award-winning series actually received a ton of praise for being super diverse. I don't know if you noticed that watching it, but just like right to start, you know, there's a mixed kid as the, you know, a mixed kid is the prince, a black king. You've got a deaf aunt. Like there's so much like use of American Sign Language. Like there is a ton of diversity just right off the bat. And I don't know. I think that it's so cool to see a series that, following Avatar: The Last Airbender, you know, it just jumps right into this ability to show lots of different characters that people can identify with.
100%, yeah, no, and the diversity was apparent right at the start. Like, it kicks off the show with that, so it was very clear that that's something they were going for right away. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I did not realize that they had won awards for it. That was really cool to see. So, really quick note on our sponsor. Don't forget to check out Anchor. Literally last night, I was supposed to go to a David Archuleta concert, but was a little too sick. But I went to dinner with my family, and one of my brothers asked me about podcasting. And I was like, you just need to go to anchor.fm. Like, it is the easiest way to make a podcast, post a podcast, the whole shebang. And, yeah, so I don't just say it lightly. When I say it on the show, like, I really do believe it. So check them out over at anchor.fm. All right, Patty, tell me what is the Dragon Prince V?
So, the Dragon Prince, it's an extraordinary discovery, inspires two human princes and an elven assassin to team up on an epic quest to bring peace to their warring lands. You've got Zadia and the human kingdoms. It's funny, exciting, dramatic. The Dragon Prince brings us closer through conflict, comedy, and love. And it really asks the question, can three kids make a difference in a world torn by a terrible war? Or will adults again, or once again, ruin everything like they normally do?
Yeah, adults be doing that.
Yeah.
How much of that do you think I wrote?
I feel like that's from something.
No, I actually wrote all of the first line is actually from the Dragon Prince website, And the rest is from me.
Is you. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's it's the show is great. It's pretty apparent. Yeah, that adults tend to ruin everything. Classic kids show.
Yeah. I gotta ask you, you know, thinking about this kind of your foray into animation, really. What are your kind of your first impressions or your like initial thoughts on the show?
Yeah, so kind of like you talked about in the Nerd Fact, right? That it did feel very diverse. There was a lot of interesting characters, and I think that's something having watched Avatar before, right? That that these showrunners do really well is highlighting those the characters. The character work is really great. I actually put down, right, that it really, the way that this season felt, it felt like season one of Avatar, right? It had that same structure as far as, looks like they've got it separated kind of into books and chapters, like a lot of things
were
very familiar.
I personally, like, my first impression of the show was like, oh man, this is witty. It's funny. I got to watch it with my wife. And we loved it. Like we were excited every season that came out. We were really excited to watch. It is, I don't know. There's something about the way that these guys do shows that brings a lot of, I don't know. It's like a fresh take on television. It's really consumable. Yeah, I really enjoyed my first watch through of this season. And I have pretty fond memories sitting on the bed watching it with my wife.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't take long, right? I think the season one was very short.
Yeah, it's like 9 episodes, I believe.
Yeah.
So
really easy to digest.
If you haven't digested it yet, I recommend you pause it because we're going to get into some spoilers here in just a second. It is available only on Netflix. So head on over to Netflix to watch this one, and we'll see everybody back who's pausing this episode to go binge this show. Bye. No. So overall impressions, we're going to take a high level look at what we're reviewing and kind of what we love from it. Man, my overall impressions of season one were, this thing is a banger. Like there were so many characters to love. There were so many really impactful moments. There were even right where they find the egg, right? Like the chase through the castle happens so quickly. The assassination attempt is right at the beginning. I don't know. There's like a lot, the banger after banger after banger at the beginning of this show, and it really brings you in really quickly.
It does move pretty quickly. Yeah. That's actually something that we'll get into a little later.
What about you? Do you have any high level overall impressions that you didn't, that you want to mention that are a little more spoilery?
Not really. I don't really have.
That's okay. I think for me, like, overall, the first season of this show does a really good job of making you care about characters quickly. So you're really engaged with the characters. Like, yeah, just like right away. And I think that's a powerful thing that these writers and showrunners are able to do with their shows. Like, after episode one of Avatar: The Last Airbender, I was connected to the main characters right away. And anytime that they introduce a new character, you really get engaged with that character quickly. We'll kind of talk about some of those moments, but I don't know, like the feeling of importance is really right away, and that's my biggest impression from the first season.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, those characters, that's true. You really do care about them right away. And you can connect with them. So
let's talk about the characters. We each are going to pick one or two, I guess, of our absolute favorite characters. And Patty, I'll let you go first.
Okay. So something with these showrunners and these shows, sometimes there are a lot of characters And sometimes my favorites are actually some of these nonverbal ones. Like I love connecting, like in Avatar: The Last Airbender, I love Momo and Appa, right? The animals were the best, some of the best things. And it's true for this one as well. I do love Bape, the color changing toad.
Dude, he's so funny. And like, so you're not supposed to get in the water, and like, it's like he doesn't, it's not his fault, he doesn't know how delicious he is.
Yeah.
When that line is just like, he doesn't know how delicious he is. That line got me.
Yeah. He doesn't know how delicious he is. Yeah. Well, and it's with something so colorful, right? Like he's designed like a, you know, a spotted toad would, right? To kind of fend off things, and that whole sequence with the sea monster is great. But my second, if I was to pick a character who actually talks, is actually Gren, right? So that's their aunt's kind of interpreter. I think some of the funniest moments are him in the dungeon, just like kind of not really, just kind of being oblivious to what's going on, and just going with it, and seeing those reactions to everything.
He's got some bangers of lines too, like when he's like, "Oh, that's me." Like he's got some funny ones.
Yeah.
For me, I'll go, it's Ezran. Ezran, I don't know how, like, he's got that thing where you want to protect him at all costs. He's like so sweet and like innocent and cute and humble. He's like, oh, you sweet child. Like, you want to take care of him. And I think
he's your little buddy.
Yeah, he's your little buddy. He's protecting Bait. And like, I don't know. There's something about him. When he's like, hey, maybe he'll show us his scary face on his butt or something about the spider. And like, his lines are hysterical. His ability to love is unparalleled. He really is like this sweet thing that you're like, oh my gosh, Ezran, you're so cute. Let's talk about storylines. You know, typically we want to talk about like things that resonated with us or things that caught our attention. For me, there are two. The pupper and his leg was heart-wrenching to beautiful. It was, I think it's only like a 3-episode arc of the 9. Maybe it's only 2 even.
Yeah, I think it's the last 2.
And then the other one is, it's kind of not just the king with and the magic, but just kind of dark magic in general. The storyline of understanding the dark magic, using the dark magic, the cost of dark magic. It gets deeper in the later seasons, but just like how the king refuses to use it, the elves are so opposed to it. Like it's really intriguing. How the characters respond to magic in this world, where, you know, they're either impressed by it, scared of it, like. And it is an interesting storyline throughout this season that really transfers into later seasons.
Right, yeah, because that's something they make a big point of, right, is there's the original forms of magic, which kind of gets tracked in that cube that they pick up, right? Many series has their own form of dark magic that's just, like, innate to the world, but that's not the case here. Right, dark magic was found by the humans. Right, it's not something, you know, natural or really part of that to start. So that's
yeah,
really cool and interesting.
Yeah, I like the magic system a lot in this series, just in general. What about you? What's your favorite storyline?
Yeah, so something that you track all the way. I mean, it's throughout this first season, right? Is Rayla's experience and her quest. So with the wrist, I think it's like the assassin's link that she makes with her elves, right? To when they are to kill the king and Ezran. and all the different ways that she's, you know, tries to remove it, and you see her hand getting progressively purple, more purple as it, you know, clenches tighter. And eventually, if she doesn't complete the mission, she would lose her hand. It had some stakes there, right? And it was cool to see something throughout the series, or throughout this first season rather, that you know, she has to continue to deal with, like, it affects her in some of the fights, right? Like, not,
yeah, when she's trying to break their hand. When she's trying to climb with the one arm, that was a really kind of like scary big moment. I also think that, like, the dagger, like, I don't remember what the dagger was called, but I watched this season with Maxwell this time, and, like, he was super invested in the armband as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I hope that dagger comes back. That thing was cool.
Yeah, that dagger's sweet. You know, we've talked a lot about the things that we've loved, but I want to take just a second before we go into, like, deep love it's of things that we thought could be better with season one. I have two. The first one is the animation. I know that it's award-winning animation. It was very different. People really liked it. It felt like it was like skipping frames for some reason in a lot of moments that kind of took me out of it. And I wish that it was a little smoother. Not smoother in like I loved the kind of the rigidness of the actual animation, but the like it really did feel like it was missing frames and stuff as it went along, which I didn't like. My second could be better. I don't know. I feel like it ended at a weird time. Like the season end of season one is just like, it makes sense for it to be the ending of season one, but you're like, oh. Okay, and I think this kind of goes into yours. Like, it's almost like I wish there was one more episode.
Yeah, so I think we have a lot of the same could be betters. We see a lot of the same things, right? I think the animation, it felt unfinished, right? Is maybe a word to describe that, right? And maybe that was, you know, I guess that was award winning. Right, for it, but it kind of felt like, yeah, that it wasn't smooth, wasn't finished.
Yeah, it almost looked like they were trying to go for like the Into the Spider-Verse animation, but it didn't make sense in context, right? Like the reason that animation makes sense is because it's supposed to make you feel like you're reading a comic book.
Right.
This doesn't have that to lean on, so it's like, why is it so? I don't even know the word for it. Maybe it's because I'm sick, but like. Just the where it feels like it's dropping frames or like skipping segments of the animation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, there is kind of it did feel like it ended in an awkward spot. That there could have been a lot more detail. I'm always hungry for more detail. And I think while we got really connected to these characters at the beginning, right? These shows run a long time, right? So I think they're on season four now.
I think that was the last season. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, is it the last season? Okay, so it's short. I'd imagine they would kind of do what they did with that. I think how long were the Avatar seasons? Because I feel like Avatar was like 20 something episodes per book.
Yeah, it was.
And this is like less than half of that. Right, so I don't know. It just felt really short.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I don't know that it felt really short, but I definitely felt like it ended at a weird time. And maybe I would have liked 12 episodes. Like I definitely felt like I wanted one more.
At least one more, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. That's all of our could be better. That's a short list. Let's go into Lovitz. This is usually the segment where we talk about the things that we really loved about what we're reviewing. Patty, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so I do love the way that these showrunners, and it was true with Avatar The Last Airbender, it's the same here, how they handle tertiary characters and, you know, these smaller characters that you don't, you know, spend a long time with. We may spend more time with some of them. Like, for example, I love the interactions with Claudia and Callum. And Claudia and her brother, right? Like, I kind of wish I would have seen more, again, getting into more detail, a longer season. I kind of wish I would have seen a little more of that, just because it was so great. And then, yeah, some of these tertiary characters, like the, you know, the dog and the girl, the guy with the dagger, right? They did really, I love how they handle those characters and get you cared about them.
You know, it's so funny, the guy with the dagger, there's this, like, she's like, I'm not going to kill you, I just want your dagger. And, like, she lets him go, and then minutes later, he's got a mob with an army attacking her. And I looked at Maxwell, I was like, well, that seems fair. She lets him live, he goes to get a mob to kill her. It's a real, real sweetheart of a guy there.
Lovely how that works.
Yeah.
They hate elves. So, you know, there's that. What about you, Spencer?
Oh man, there's a lot to love from the series. I think the comedy in this is spot on. Like, there are so many moments that are funny. It really doesn't feel like these writers have to try very hard. Like, they're just naturally, like, funny and witty and, like, really enjoyable. The moments with Bait are hysterical. The moments with Callum, like, I mean, just to start, Callum walks out in his ceremonial armor, and, like, it's just moment after moment after moment of, like, really things that both my son and I can find funny without it feeling like it's talking down to me. I think the showrunners do a really good job of that. I mean, the writers, I mean. I think the show asks a lot of interesting questions. And season one starts off with some bangers of questions, you know, from the use of dark magic, from the use of, you know, from trying to protect the egg. You know, it starts off by what's her name? Oh my gosh, my brain's not working. Letting the human go.
Rayla.
Letting the human go. So there's just like, there's a lot of really good questions, you know, honesty and, you know, lying and, you know, all of that comes into play with Rayla as well. The moon lady and, like, you know, giving the dog heart. Like, there's a lot of questions that it poses that are really good for, like, my son and even make me think a little bit. So I like that. And then kind of my biggest love, I know this is kind of generic, but I really love the characters in the show. Like, I can't think of a character that I, like, don't genuinely find interesting that has multiple episodes. Like, all of them feel like they are important. All of them feel like they're bringing something to the show. Like, there's not a lot. What's the phrase? Like, there's not a lot of fluff. But that's not what I want to say. There's nothing forced down our throats as far as characters go. Like, every character, every interaction, and maybe that's because it's 9 episodes for season one, but it feels so decisive. The characters, even the bad guys, right? Like, it really isn't hard to get motivations from characters. Like, you really do understand things.
Yeah, definitely. With the, even the bad guys, right? Like,
yeah,
you still get that with your evil characters as well, which I appreciate.
Yep. And also, like, you know, we talked about at the beginning that, like, adults ruin everything, but, like, in this show, they really be doing that. Like, they really be messing up. And I don't know. I think that each character brings its unique ideas of what this world could be and what this world is right now. And it is interesting to kind of see that set in season one. And I think in the future seasons, it really fleshes out quite a bit. Let's rate it. On a scale of 0 to 5, How would you rate what we just watched?
Well, so it was pretty good. I think I really wanted more as far as the length, right? It did feel like I finished it in a morning, basically. Like I just went back to back. Only took a few hours, and so I don't know. I'm gonna give it a 4, right?
Sure.
It's still good, but it doesn't feel extra special to me yet. And maybe that'll change once I see more seasons. But
see,
for season one,
I actually might bring my score down because you said something really interesting, and we kind of both agreed on there's something missing from season one. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that we needed more time. I don't know that we needed bigger stakes at the end. Maybe that's why the end felt so weird. Like, I don't know. I'm going to go down to a 4.5. I was at a 5. I do think it's like one of the better season ones of like anything I've ever watched. I think we both have in the show notes like Witcher being like, you know, the gold standard of like what a season one can be.
Yeah, Witcher season one was very good. And that's why I kind of, you had your rating in there first. And so that's why I kind of referenced that was like, it didn't feel like that for me as far as
sure.
the level of like special.
Yeah, I think that like, and I also just don't think it's as good as like My Hero season one. So I'll go down to like a 4.5. But that's going to do it. If you got through this episode, you know, let us know your thoughts on season one of The Dragon Prince. We'll be doing the other seasons as well, so stay tuned for those. Thank you everybody so much for listening. Thank you Patty for being with me on this Saturday morning. We're both a little sick, but we got through it, man. You can like, subscribe, or review the podcast everywhere. Let's quickly, before we go, look at the results of Patty's poll. These results are in, Patty B. And people's... Who's your favorite character? Well, tell the listeners what the poll was.
Yeah, so poll was... this is our House of the Dragon poll, I think.
Yep.
Right? And so it was, who is your favorite character in House of the Dragon? Options were Rhaenyra, Daemon, or...
Alicent.
Alicent or other. We didn't get any... I didn't see any replies for other...
Nope.
Characters. I think Daemon took it away as far as everyone's favorite character. I think I voted Daemon, but I could be swayed to say that Rhaenyra is my favorite there as well.
It's so funny. It's almost like in that show you should do like pre big time skip and post big time skip.
Oh, sure.
Cause like the post big time skip, I couldn't stand Alicent, but pre big time skip, I loved Alicent. So it's like crazy. One thing that I did learn though, just while we're on this topic, is that Marjorie, I think it's the name of the prince, Marjorie from Marjorie Hightower, the one that is supposed to marry Joffrey but doesn't, in Game of Thrones, she's a descendant of Alicent Hightower. So
cool.
Yeah, go figure. That is going to do it for Patty's poll this week. We'll come up with a new poll. We'll announce next week. But yeah, Daemon takes it away. People love murderers, apparently. So.
Who knew?
Who knew? thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Thank you, Patty. And we'll see everybody next time on another episode of the Need to Nerd podcast.